This afternoon, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 9 to 12. We're getting almost to the end of this book. What a mighty book it is. Three of the books of the Bible being written by Solomon, David's son. And this book of Ecclesiastes is significant because Solomon went away from following the Lord when he got to be an older man, and he had to repent of that. And this book is largely his repentance and his turning back to God and showing people really what we should be pursuing. That is to fear God and keep His commandments. But that'll be my next sermon to you. Today I want to talk to you about the words that are given by one Shepherd, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, and what it means to be a master of those collections. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for this book of Ecclesiastes. Thank you that there is so much practical wisdom in this book that's for us so that we can benefit by it to the strengthening of our souls, to the building of our faith, to our being more decidedly zealous Christians. And so help us, we pray this afternoon, to lay hold of the word preached, that we would receive it, and that we would receive it with a view of learning from it, so that we would become doers of the word in all the respects practically that we need to in regard to your word and keeping it. We pray now that you'll be with us and bless us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I will begin reading in verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright. Words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. So Solomon does not call himself the king in these final words of his book. He calls himself the preacher. In verse 1 of chapter 1, the first chapter, he calls himself the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. But now in the peroration, that is in the conclusion of his sermon to us, he would give us a summary of the wisdom of what he had gathered from living his life under the sun. It was a life which he had come to see as vanity. And he will also give us a summary of the wisdom gathered from living his life unto God, which he came to see as the wisest, most profitable course that a man can take. A preacher, according to these verses, has certain duties which he should not fail in. If he is wise, his teaching will consist of certain regular activities in relation to the people whom he's called to instruct. And according to these verses, a wise preacher is to be regularly engaged in two activities in his preaching. First of all, he is to teach the people knowledge or words of truth. And second, he is to apply those words as goads and nails, as those truths which are given from Christ, the one shepherd who is referred to in verse 11. So first of all, a preacher is to teach the people knowledge or words of truth. Verse 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Now I want you to turn with me over to 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29 to 34. It says here, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So we can see here that truly Solomon was very wise in many areas of knowledge. He was wise because God gave him wisdom, it says here, exceedingly great wisdom and largeness of heart. He gave him an interest in instructing others in righteous behavior. So God enabled him to compose by the power of the Holy Spirit, it says here, 3,000 proverbs, which we have the book of in the scriptures, and 1,005 songs. Only one of his songs remains today, and that is the Song of Solomon, which was included in the canon of Scripture. God gave Solomon knowledge, it says, and insight into birds and creeping things and fish. In regards to all kinds of creatures, he had knowledge because God gave him an interest to look carefully and deeply into these subjects. And I want you to ask yourself, by way of application, what is it that God has caused you to look carefully and deeply into in regard to what you should do with your life? I trust that if you would be wise, that one of the greatest things that you will look into is His Word. What do you do with the mind that God has given you? Well, I want you to look with me over at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7 say this: Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? So you can see here, it's very plainly taught that all gifts and talents and abilities that we have, that we have received these, we've received them from God. And all the spiritual gifts and abilities likewise, not only natural gifts and abilities, but spiritual gifts and abilities likewise. Therefore, he says here, we ought not to boast as if somehow these things came from ourselves, they come from God. Now you and I should conclude from this that we ought to humbly attempt to use what we have to promote the glory of God, and more specifically, the glory of Christ. And we should attempt to take all that God has given us ability to do and to do it with all of our might. That's what the Scriptures teach us, even Solomon himself in this book of Ecclesiastes. We should not boast in ourselves. We should not boast in our own sufficiency, but rather in God and in His grace. First, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 to 11. Paul says here, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So preachers should study to have some amount of variety of knowledge in their preaching. They should stick to the Word of God, but they should also read widely. And their knowledge should take in a general and sometimes even a specific way, other fields of knowledge. The study of animals, for instance. Something of anthropology and of history. Some things in relation to the study of science. That is in relation to all of the things which God has created. This will supplement and build together with the knowledge of the Word of God. What can be said of preachers can be said of all Christians. Take what you have, dear Christian, and use it. Do not compare yourself with others around you. Seek to be everything that God, according to His Word, is instructing you to be, according to who you are as a new creature in Christ. You fulfill your respective role or roles as the godly men and women that God would have you to be. God has not called women to be public preachers in the church, but He has called them to be godly wives and mothers, to teach their children the Bible with all of its godly precepts. You know, some of the greatest preachers, some of the greatest men, have often had mothers who taught them the Bible well when they were young. But beyond this, you should study God's providential ordering of things in your life as well. The parents He has given you, the opportunities which you have to learn, and then put into practice what you have learned, which He will set before you. When it says that Solomon still taught the people knowledge, I think that it means that he continued to teach them even after he had fallen into years of vanity in his old age. In other words, he repented of those things, but he did not feel that his former course of sinful departure disqualified him from being able to instruct others about how vain he had been in his own sinful departure. In his own heart, for a time, he wasn't right with God in the matter of his taking many wives and concubines. He later repented of gathering of these wives, and he instead gathered the wisdom of truth that had been given to him by the Holy Spirit so that he could teach others to avoid this kind of mentality, the mentality that more is better. No, one wife is enough, and one wife is what the Bible enjoins. Genuine repentance from sin is the basis of your being able to instruct others about the meaning of life. If you have received and lived out the wisdom which is from above, then there's every reason for you to share that wisdom. This is the occupation of a preacher. A koaleth. That's what he calls himself here. In the Hebrew, Solomon does. The koaleth is to gather spiritual truth into his mind and to learn to live it out in consistency so that he might share it with others so they might be saved and be able to pursue righteousness. Solomon taught the people this through the book of Proverbs. He not only taught them repentance, but he taught them what was right. He taught them how to think right things and to do right things for God. He taught people right from wrong. This is something that not only fathers and mothers should do, but it's something that all Christians should do. He pondered, he searched, he arranged many principles of truth and righteous living. And I want you to turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 1 to 7. It says here, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So this is what Solomon the preacher sought to find. He says here, delightful words, and then to write words of truth correctly. And having prepared himself in this wise way, he was then able to publicly instruct the people in his spiritual knowledge. What a blessing this must have been to those who had ears to hear. Similarly, fathers and mothers and all who would be godly need to study the Bible and to declare its truths to their children, to their loved ones, and everyone around them, as they have been given the responsibility and the providential opportunity to do so. This is not giving them sermons. It's passing on nuggets of truth to them that will impact their mind, their conscience, and their heart. They need to have the truth of the Word presented to them, and they need to be spoon-fed the words of God from the Bible. So that, parents, is what you should always be doing with your children from the time that they are very young until the time when they leave your household. If you do this, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit will attend your efforts. This is one of the great ways that people come to saving faith and usefulness to God and to Christ. This is the way to promote the furtherance of Christ's glorious kingdom. If you will ponder, if you will search out, if you will arrange small portions of the truth of the Bible to give to others around you. So secondly, a preacher is to apply those words as goads, it says here, and nails. Now, I'm sure you've probably heard of what goads are, that goads were in the times past the sharp pointed sticks that the herdsmen would use to prod the cattle along. That's just how it was. And here the word is being used by a wise man to people who need to have understanding. The words of the wise are like goads, verse 11, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. So Solomon, by inspiration of God, he knew where his wisdom came from. It came from God, but more specifically, he knew that it came from the shepherd of Israel. Do you see that? It came from Christ, who was and who is the shepherd of Israel. So the revelation of the Son of God was known in Old Testament times. And we find this truth revealed in the words of another writer in the book of Proverbs, Agur, in chapter 30 and verse 4. It says here, who has ascended into heaven or descended, or who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? The New American Standard says, surely you know. So Solomon knew that the words of the wise were like goads. And a goad is that sharp stick used to direct the sheep or the cattle. So that's what he's doing with us, with these words. He's directing us in the way that we should go. The words of the wise, that is the inspired words of the Old Testament, in Old Testament times were not only to be received as informative, but the words were given to direct the life. And there was and there is the authority of God behind them. The Spirit of God attends them. And the same is true in New Testament times. The Scriptures are given us to direct us in the right paths of obedience to God. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11 show us that these words, the words of the Bible, should be used by preachers like goads in the firm and friendly way of goodwill, both towards sinners and saints. When you go about to instruct others around you, do you do it in a friendly way? Do you do it in a way that shows that you're not going to be moved yourself away from the truth of what you've been shown from the Bible? See, that's what the Lord is looking for from us in our witness, that we would be friendly, but that we would also be firm in terms of the truth. And the law of the Lord, it says here, is perfect. Psalm 19, 7 to 11, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. Moreover, more desirable are they than gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So even Christians sometimes need to be warned, don't they? And here in our text, we find the preachers preaching God's law will sometimes prick our conscience in order to attempt to move us into the right way. Sometimes you and I need prodding in terms of learning to do what God would have us to do, to move in the right direction that God would have us to go. Well, that's what God did with Saul before he became the Apostle Paul. And I'll read to you here. You can turn over with me if you want to Acts chapter 9 and verses 1 to 5. It says here, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Or is it, is a question sometimes, is it hard for you to kick against the goads? So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you want me to do? So you see here, there was not only the truth of the Scriptures that Saul was fighting against, he was also fighting against Christ himself. And all that time, the Lord Jesus had been goading him. Is it hard for you, Saul? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads that I'm giving to your conscience, that you aren't headed in the right direction, that you aren't keeping my law nor fulfilling my purpose, but you're persecuting me? Is what he says to him. So, he was not only fighting against the Lord, he was fighting against all the Christians around him who were trying to convince him that he was wrong to be persecuting Christians and to holding to his own righteousness in order to think that he was pleasing God. He was fighting against the living demonstrations of these people around him that he was persecuting. So Christ himself had brought these people, these dear Christian people, into the paths of righteousness by giving them grace, showing them mercy. But what we need to understand from this text this afternoon is that the preachers themselves and the words that they speak, they are well-driven nails whom Christ uses to bring sinners into connection with Christ. They're joined together by faith in the gospel. And preachers, it says here, should be masters of these collections. That is, of all the 66 books of the Bible, because they are the words of wisdom. A preacher should be able to make applications of the truth of the Scriptures, just like a carpenter drives the nail through the board and clinches it on the other side. Both sinners and saints should not be able to escape the implications to themselves of what the Bible is saying or of what God expects. And it says here, the masters of Bible words are like well-driven nails, which are given all of them by Christ, who is the author behind the authors of the Bible. If the preacher will take these all-important truths of the Bible related to the salvation of the souls of men, and he will drive them home in the minds and the conscience of the people whom he preaches to, they will ultimately have a good effect. The effect which God desires them to have. And even if his preaching does not bring a good initial response, nevertheless God's purpose will be accomplished. Surely it is that we want to see men and women, young people and children saved and become holy. But we also know that God works sovereignly in the way that he pleases to address the needs and problems of people's hearts. Before people can come to Christ, they need to feel the goads. They need to hear gospel preachers putting down nails and hammering the great truths of the gospel in the Word of God. And they need to hear a preacher who is willing to use the sharp prodding of the law, which will bring conviction of sin, in order that they would see their need of Christ. They need to feel the urgency and the necessity of trusting in Christ now and not sometime later. This is why preachers are needed. Romans 10, verse 4. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Therefore pray for the Lord of the harvest to raise up and send forth more gospel preachers into his harvest. In Luke 10, verse 2, Jesus says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. These men and the biblical truths that they will preach are the hammers, I'm saying, and the well-driven nails given by one shepherd, even Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and we pray that you would indeed raise up more preachers, more pastors, more shepherds after your own heart, even from among our midst here, that you would do this. And that you would give power to those who are preaching to this congregation in these days. May your word come with power in these Sundays. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.